got no choice but to believe my doubts are burning. And that she's in the way. So long to my old friends. Burning and bitterness, you can't just keep it moving. Now you're welcome here. Another one, I am free. Sing it out. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Oh, in Jesus' name. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. Oh, I am free. Oh, I am free. Sing it out.
You can get your t-shirts. Please be aware you can get your t-shirts down to Snack Shack. I think we went over that, but I see a lot of people rocking those today, so thanks for supporting us. Please be aware, parents, you can go, be on the inside information with what Zach's doing back there with the group app, so please be aware that you can sign up for that via that QR code or see Zach. He'll get you all connected there. So we got still events. Zach, how was the volleyball? Oh, I need to ask you. How did it go? All right, okay, good. I'll take that. All right. So Zach did let me know that we're a little light on the cornhole sign-up. So if you go to the back, that back table, right where that gentleman with the red shirt is, how are you? There you go. Can you model those tablets for me, those clipboards? Can you model that for me like Vanna White? Very nice. Very nice. Everybody can see that? Very nice. Thank you. Bing, bing, bing. Very good. Perfect. Please sign up. There is a 13 and younger and a 13 and older bracket. So please sign up. And by the way, thank you so much. Thank you, man. All right. So please be aware, reigning champions are here. Right, dude?
Right here, dude.
Right here, dude.
For now.
For now. For now. For now. For now. All right. So sign up and we'll find out. All right, anyway. So, and then we have our wiffle ball game coming up on Friday. Ladies' luncheon. Sue is so looking forward to sharing with you Ed and Sue were here today just sharing from their time in Thailand. So please come out for the international worker speaking. But Sue will be speaking at the ladies' luncheon on Wednesday. Please be aware, I have one family for the communion and healing service that is coming up on Thursday. If you would like to help me be a part of the prayer places and the prayer partners that will go around the room for what is our communion and healing night, please, if it's a husband and wife couple, or if you just have a heart for that, I have one couple already that said, yes, we would love you to be part of that. So I'm just looking for volunteers to help pray and anoint people with oil. And listen, it doesn't get more CMA than that, honestly. So I'm looking forward to what is going to be a wonderful evening. And that will be when Jonathan Schaefer is here. Please be aware, you can donate directly via these QR codes. Where is Zach? Jack. Sorry, Jack. Where you want me? By the way, let me go to the next. Actually, we're going to have to get there. Jeff, I'm sorry. We'll go back. So I can't say anything yet. I'll explain in a minute what I'm getting at. But anyway, if you want to give, you can give via that QR code. Water activities is happening. I'm getting so many people talking about this slide. It's 22 feet high. It is super fast. And the kids are like, dude, you hit your head going down so fast. It's like awesome. So anyway, check it out. Go up there. Bring your towels. It's a lot of fun. So good stuff. Morning prayer right here. We had a great time this morning. We're going to continue that tomorrow. I look forward to connecting with you there as well. All right, so the next one. All right, we met our quota for our kids. So Jeff said, wow, you begged. Like, you threw yourself in the mercy of family camp, and you begged, and we got. He goes, so maybe if you beg for the offering, we'll get all our money tonight. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I can be up here begging if you need me to. Snack Shack, we got those mango slushies. Anybody have a mango slushie? Woo, they're good. They're good. April, thank you for all you do. Anyway, it's a great time. We got peach? We got peach? We got something tomorrow, too?
Peach or mango.
You can't lose. Anyway, Ira Towns is doing a fantastic job at Bible Hour. Please come 9:30 in the morning. Ira, you're doing fantastic. Jonathan Weibel, just thank you for leading us. It was just an amazing night last night. He's going to continue. And I had to talk to Jonathan a little privately. I'm like, we need an update about a certain person named Gravy. So he may or may not update you about a certain person named Gravy. Jonathan Schaefer's coming on. He'll be here Wednesday through Friday, and I will be effectively out of a job then. So just so you know, it's coming. It's going to be a thing. So I'm getting fired. These are our international workers coming up throughout the week. Please come and hear the heartbeat of our Alliance International Workers who are just serving so faithfully. Ed and Sue, we're so thankful for your ministry in Thailand. We're looking forward to continue hearing how God has just blessed you on the field even tomorrow. So great. All right, that's what I have. Now, there is one announcement. If you could go to the treasure one for me, Bob. So I have one final thing. I thought we'd play a quick little game. Eric, you're going to have to just help me out here for a second. Now, can I get like a minute and a half here with you? Okay. All right. So, just to share with you what you can find, I found a hide-a-key rock here. Hide-a-key rock that you can put in your yard. So we're going to play Price is Right here. All right? So I found this on eBay. So if you can guess the price, I need four people. Give me four hands. Four hands. Let's go. Four hands. All right. I got one here. You right here. All right. I need you to guess the price that this is on eBay without going over. Keep in mind, somebody should say $1. Okay, here we go. Give me your price. $20? Oh, it's too late now. You put in 20. All right. Yes. $15. $7. I need, remember, if you go over, you're not, you just, somebody say $1. $1. The real price, $5. There you go. That's yours. All right. You can find these items and more at the amazing treasure hunts over here. So have a great time. Eric, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Let's stand and continue to worship together. Let's stand together. Don't be afraid to come up here. We talked about this last night. Let's be a family. Let's move up. Some of y'all move up this way. We love worshiping together. Let's continue worshiping. Come on.
Goodness of God. All my life.
It's because of your goodness, Lord. We can stand here and sing songs and praise and worship to you. You've been so good to us. Even if you did nothing else, Jesus, you've already warranted our worship forever. You're so worthy of praise. Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Make it personal. You're lovely altogether wonderful to me. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can just come and lift our worship in your name, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated.
I just want to give you an update on the giving for the week. If you remember, our goal for the week is 17,000. Through last night, we're at about 1,600. So we are on our way, but we've still got a ways to go. So we are, again, trusting the Lord to provide as he has in all the past years, and we trust he'll do the same this year. Just an update, if we do meet our goal before the end of the week, which I hope we do again, we won't need to have me up here as much talking, and we can stay and worship and do other things. So there you go. We got one fan for the worship. So we'll put another song in Thursday night if we hit our goal. So if you love the worship, give tonight, tomorrow night, and we'll give this team more opportunity. How about that? And if we do go over, some of you are probably wondering, what happens if we go over? Well, then typically what we do is we split some of that money and give back to Summit Grove, and we ask that that overage go into some kind of facility improvement that we can help to provide even some more lodging. So this year we're privileged to have pretty much all of our main accommodations filled up. We even have people in the A-frame cabin. So praise the Lord, we're pretty full this year. And if we continue to bring in additional funding, we've got some plans to improve either the ATELs or maybe even get to another dorm or something like that. We would like to increase our capacity to bring a bigger family here for family camp. So that's one of our goals. And, you know, if we raise more, we're going to share that with Summit Grove. And then some of that we keep into the next year so we can continue to offer the free meal and stuff like that that we do. So, again, we thank the Lord for his blessings here. Thank you all for your love for family camp. It shows in the giving. Again, just a reminder, in the buckets, if you make a check, Eastern PA District. If you want to give cash, that's fine. QR codes, and some of you are finding that, so that's working. You can find those posted throughout the tabernacle. If you can't find one, let me know. You can give that way as well. And a reminder, Friday night, we're going to definitely be taking an offering. International workers, thank you for the Danikers. The Irvins will be coming, and then Jeff Bean will be sharing on Friday, who's not an international worker, but he's a church planter in right here in Stewartstown. So he's going to come share with us about church planting Friday morning, so don't miss that at 10:45. I think that's all for tonight. So, oh, and kids can be dismissed once we do the next song. So thank you, Kaylee. So we're going to pray, and then the team's going to lead us in another song, and kids can go with Kaylee and be dismissed. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father, we do. We thank you for your goodness that we just sang about. You are truly a good, good God, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessings you've poured out so richly upon us. You tell us just as an earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more does our heavenly Father give to us? And we come and say thank you for your goodness and your blessings here tonight. And we want to give back a portion of that to you. So I do pray that you will continue to bless this week, bless the speakers, bless everyone here. Open hearts, Lord. This is an investment in lives changed. We've already heard a number of lives that have been changed right here at Summit Grove, and we want to see that continue. So, Father, continue to do a work. Continue to allow us to receive your goodness. And we just want to give back to you tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hasn't it always been about the same thing? Oh Lord, bring us back to simple things. You be the center of it all. My heart belongs to you, my Savior, all along. You're the one I hold on to. The beauty of your name, my soul lives to say, Jesus, I love you. Teach us to discern the moment when to serve and when to sit here at your feet. Keep us awake to what's important, just like Mary chose the better thing. You be the center of it all. My heart belongs to you, my Savior, all in all. You're the one I hold on to for the beauty.
Stand and declare that with us. Pressing in, press into our hearts and minds, and through your word, just meet us here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Jonathan, I'm going to invite you to come on up.
I guess I invited people to come on down, too. So I invite you to come on up, Jonathan. We're so blessed to have you here. And I think people want an update here. So there was a lot of talk around a lot of campfires last night. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah, so many people were wondering about my cat. Did she live to tell the tale? She did. Here's a picture of Gravy and Sherman. So that's Gravy. You can't kill this cat. It's the Keith Richards of cats. But she, again, I was being truthful that she does have a successful podcast, so I wanted to let you know that. Thank you. That's way better. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here. I want to see, that would have been bad right there for my computer. I want to throw this, but I won't. Eric, take this. I need a whole team of people around me to help me do what I do. But somebody asked me last night about my shirt that's in the back. It says, if you know, you know. And there's a poinsettia on it. And there's a story behind that shirt. It's one of my comedy shirts. If you've been to my show, you know this story. But happens to be a story of an Alliance pastor named Pete Canizzaro. Anybody know Pete? Yeah, awesome. Pete's awesome. He's great. He's one of my best friends, and he was preaching on Christmas Eve in State College Alliance, and my family was there. Even my parents were there. And Pete malaprops. He kind of mistakes one word for another that looks the same, like flamingo and flamenco. One's a dance and one's a bird. You know, so he malaprops stuff. He messes stuff up in his mind. He's a little off. And all the women in the church had put poinsettias out front, and it was Christmas, all the beautiful lights. And Pete says, I want to thank all the ladies of the church for putting their placentas up front. Yeah, it really happened. So on the front, the poinsettia, that's, you know, if you know, you know. I did not put a placenta on the back. I considered it, but I didn't. So anyhow, just want to tell you about that, declare that. Hey, what a great song to end with, Eric. Mary chose the better thing. Right, we talked a little bit about that last night. I don't know if you chose that song because of that, but we talked about that last night. Mary chose the better thing. The key to the great commandment is the first commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the key. I always want to push that with you. The idea of Front Yard Mission, which is the name of my book, the idea is both literal and metaphorical. It's literal in that we want to position ourselves physically. We want to put ourselves physically in the front of our house, like the front yard, so that we intersect with neighbors more often. But it's also metaphorical. I mean, I want to be on mission. The moment I step outside my front door, I'm on mission, right? Like, my neighbors are my mission. You know, I want to help people see their street as their mission field, their workplace as sacred, and their commonalities with others as the front door to the church. So tonight I'm going to talk about three rhythms. This is the heart and soul, the nuts and bolts of our mission of the Great Commandment. Three rhythms. And a rhythm is this. It's a strong, repeated pattern of movement. A strong, repeated pattern of movement. And the first one, as you might imagine, is pray first. Pray first. 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says, I urge then first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that they may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Paul says, I urge, our first priority, our first thing and most important and most urgent thing we can do for our neighbors is to pray. He says, pray for all kinds of people, people in government, people in authority, kings, and just all people. All people, because God wants, it's God's desire that all people come to the knowledge of the truth that's in Christ Jesus. That's God's desire. It's God's desire for our next door neighbor who doesn't know Jesus, is for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. The priority is pray first. Five years ago, I was looking out my front door window, and I saw a large dog out front. It wasn't my dog. I'd never seen this dog before. But often in our neighborhood, somebody retrieves one of my dogs that gets out. So I like to return the favor, you know. And so I saw this dog, and I got a lead, and I ran out after the dog. And it was kind of mangy and weird looking, but I couldn't catch it. I was running around the yard, probably looked foolish. I couldn't catch the dog. And so I kind of gave up. And then 30 minutes later, my neighbor came over and he said, hey, Jonathan, the Games Commission called and let me know that there's a rabid coyote running around the neighborhood. So I was chasing the wrong dog. And a lot of times when we think about the Great Commandment, we think about doing, right? Doing and sharing, loving our neighbor, doing practical things to love our neighbor. That's awesome. I love that. And sharing the gospel. But the first dog to chase, the right dog to chase, is always prayer. It's always pray first. That's the first thing we should do. We say, talk to God about your neighbors before you talk to your neighbors about God. Got a little spider here. There you go. Have a good trip. That's a long way for a tiny spider right there. That's like gravy level fall right there for a spider. Talk to God about your neighbors before you talk to your neighbors about God. I was sharing this with Sylvia last night, but the amazing missionary Hudson Taylor said, when we work, but when we pray, God works. I want to be in that, not where I'm doing all the work. I am, as much as I'm not a real man, like, you know, like I can't fix a car. I can, like, fake fixing a car, like I can open up a hood and I can say, like, hey, it looks like your capacitor stopped fluxing. I can say stuff like that and pretend I'm not a real man. I still want to serve and use my hands and fix things and help my neighbor. But God does it better. If anything eternal is ever going to happen in our neighborhoods, it's always when we pray. When we pray, God works. Believe me, I've tried to live out the Great Commandment on my own, and it does not work. We use a tool that we stole from our friends at the Art of Neighboring. They've become our friends, and we've kind of partnered with them in some ways. But we use this tool. They call it the tic-tac-toe board. We call it the hashtag, and we'll show it up here, I think. Yeah, there it is. And basically how we use this, and we're going to give you one of these tomorrow night, and you can fill it out. So basically what you do is you put yourself in that center. That's you. You're that house right there. And think about the names of your neighbors that surround you, those eight kind of quadrants. Think of all your neighbors and start writing their names down. You may not get all eight. Most of us can't get eight. In fact, sometimes we jokingly call it the square of shame. Because sometimes we live in our neighborhoods for a long time and we don't know our neighbors' names. This is a great device to help us to learn our neighbors' names and to pray for our neighbors. And it's okay. I've been in that position where I have a neighbor who lives like two doors down from me, and I can't remember their name, even though they've told me a couple times. I want to tell you to push beyond the awkward and say, hey, I'm so sorry, I forgot your name. Can you tell me your name again? All the good God stuff is on the other side of awkward. All the good stuff is on the other side of the awkward. So push through and ask what their names are. I'm going to give you this tomorrow night. And there's another tool for prayer that we like to suggest. It's called the Bless app. It was an app I was on the beta test for. And basically what happens is the Bless app, once you put your information in, will give you the top 100 people that live in your area. I know it sounds creepy. But it's just public information. And every day it will give you five people to pray for. And then once you indicate that you've prayed for them, the next day it will give you five more new people. And I've learned so many of my neighbors' names through the Bless app and when I'm praying for them. But I just want to caution you, like, it sometimes can backfire too. Several years ago, I had learned my neighbors' names through when we moved into the neighborhood through the Bless app. And I was walking my four Bernese Mountain Dogs down the street, and I saw a lady on the porch, and I said, hey, Beth, how's it going? And I just kept walking, and she said, hey, how did you know my name? Now I'm in a predicament. I can tell the truth, or I can, you know, go through my Rolodex of excuses. But I try to always land on the truth. So I just said, hey, Beth, I learned your name from the internet. Wah, wah. And I just said, I'm really sorry. I said, I prayer walk my neighborhood, and I think it's better for me if I can learn my neighbor's name. So I learned your name that way, and I'm praying for you. And so I walk off, and we come back around, and she's still on the porch. The police haven't showed up yet, and so I'm good. And then she says, hey, can you come up here? I said, sure. And so I came up, and she said, hey, I'm struggling with addiction. I'm trying to stay sober. Can you pray for me? So I prayed for her, and since then we've had a really great relationship, and occasionally she'll come down and we'll pray for her and kind of help her through her struggles a little bit. But all the God stuff is on the other side of awkward. I am like the awkward pastor in State College. They refer to me as the awkward pastor because I'll do the dumb, awkward things. But and 80% of the time I fail. But that 20% is glorious. So if you like those percentages, then you're a lot like me. So we try to pray at least once a week as a family for our hashtag. And when we moved into our neighborhood, there was a guy that I met named Adam, and I put him on my hashtag. And Adam was a veteran from Afghanistan. He was an army medic. And he's kind of famous in our town because there's a highway named after him in State College, Hartswick Highway. And Adam came back from the war with his legs blown off. And that's our street. That's actually right out in front of my house. That picture was taken. And Adam was struggling because he was on patrol and with his four best friends, and he stepped on an IED, lost both his legs, but his four best friends that were with him on patrol that night were killed. And so he was going through all kinds of survivor's guilt, PTSD, and what we call moral trauma. I connected Adam with an organization that we were using called Reboot. It was for veterans and first responders that have experienced moral trauma. And he got connected with them. And then my daughter came to me and she said, "Dad, can we do an alpha course in the neighborhood for the neighbors?" And alpha is kind of like, it was started in London. It's a course. It was started by Nikki Gumbel. It was a course originally for new believers, but it's great for unbelievers. And so we did it. We had 10 or 12 of our neighbors show up, a couple people from our church. And we did this alpha course. And basically, you have dinner together. You watch a video that's like 20 minutes long that's produced really well. And then you just discuss. And it tackles everything from the Bible to who is God to creation to the gospel to gifts of the Holy Spirit. It goes through the whole gamut. It does it in a really great and systematic way. And we invited Adam. He's the guy I've been praying for every day for a couple of years now. And Adam and his girlfriend Sarah show up. And they're there every week. They love it. They're really enjoying it. And then week seven, there's this opportunity to give the gospel, to share the gospel. And I love that. That's what makes my socks go up and down in life, is to share the gospel with somebody. And so after dinner, I kind of stood up after the video, and I started sharing my testimony in the gospel. And Adam raised his hand and he said, "Hey, Jonathan, can I tell you something?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "This week I surrendered my life to Jesus." And I said, in my mind, I was like, "Really? Really, God? I don't get a piece of this. Like, this is what I love to do, is lead people to Jesus, and you do it all by yourself? Really?" So that was like, and like my spirit was quickly checked, you know, and I realized, oh, yeah, God invites me in, you know, in on it to pray. But he doesn't even need me. God can move. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Pray first. It's the most important thing. If you hear anything tonight, it's pray regularly for your neighbors. We did a survey of 300 people who are practitioners of Front Yard Mission in our church. And what we found is that those who regularly, at least three times a week, were praying for their hashtag, that we found that they were 600% more likely to have gospel conversations with their neighbors than those who weren't praying. That's significant. I call that significant. Second thing is love all. And we know there's several words for love in the Greek, right? Eros, you know, this kind of erotica, romantic love. Philia, brotherly love, where we get the, you know, word Philadelphia, which is so fitting, right? Because it's such a lovely town. A lot of love there. Storge, which is like parental love. And then, of course, agape. And you all love Jesus, and you know what agape is, but agape love only comes through loving Christ. It's not conjured up. It's not faked. It's not expressed to other people until we've done the work of being in the presence of Jesus. Again, when we've chosen the better thing, the thing that Mary chose, to sit at Jesus' feet. Its motives are pure. I know when my motives aren't pure, when it's not agape love. When I'm loving my neighbor and it's not reciprocated and I'm emotionally injured, I'm probably not agape loving my neighbor. Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The variable of agape love from storge or eros or philia that sets itself apart is being with Jesus. they took note that these were ordinary men, but that these men had been with Jesus. That's always the variable. When we're with Christ, our ability to love others moves from simple, ordinary to amazing, extraordinary love. Something happens when we love Christ. And how we see the world and how we see our neighbor makes a drastic change when we've been with Jesus. We can't fake it. The world will know who you all love by how we love him. Paul Benjamin, in his book, The Equipping Ministry, I think he wrote it in the 60s, says, on average, it takes about 5 positive interactions with the gospel before someone will begin to consider following Jesus, right? I got more than that today. 5 positive interactions with the gospel or with a Christian before someone will consider following Jesus. But every act of love, every prayer we pray for our neighbor, every act of love, everything that we do that is out of agape love is a positive interaction with the gospel, with Jesus, with his followers. Those are all good things. I remember my first kind of, I'm not sure it was an interaction. But it kind of lived with me for a long time. When I was a kid, I was in the backyard on a really hot day, and I had a basketball hoop, and my friend Jeff and I were playing. He was my next door neighbor, and we were shooting baskets, and we were like, I was a bad kid, right? I wasn't all this put together like I am today. I was a bad kid. Nice kid, bad kid. That's how I would define myself growing up. And we were like cussing and, you know, saying all the things. And we went over to his house to get some water. And his mom came over, Dorothy was her name, and she gave us water. And she's like, here you go, guys. She said, drink up, because where you're going, it's going to be a lot hotter than it is here. And that was a little bit of a wake. That was, now that I look back on it, that was a generous thing to say to us. Like, in some weird way, it kind of was like the first thing that ever just kind of like woke me up and helped me to consider eternity. I'm not saying do that. That's not what I'm saying. Last resort kind of thing, you know, tell your neighbor they're going to hell. Last resort. But it was an interaction for me. Again, if you remember our video last night of Mr. Rogers, who has loved you into existence? That's one of those positive interactions with a Christian or with the gospel. Who's loved you into existence? There's all kinds of practical ways people, and we don't have time to unpack all those, so buy my book. It's a good plug, right? Your life will be forever changed for only $15, $14.99 for Sylvia, but $15 for everybody else. The third rhythm, the third regular practice of a good neighbor is to invite often. And there's really 4 invitations that we'll talk about. But think about the New Testament. There was like this culture of invitation that we see all in the New Testament. We see Jesus invites others to come follow me over 20 times. Andrew invited Peter to meet Jesus. And I think about that a lot. Andrew doesn't get his props, right? Because we think of what would Christianity be without Peter? And I say, what would Christianity be without Andrew, who invited Peter? It's really important that we're inviting people in. And I want to talk about 4 invitations. An invitation into our space is the first one. Your space, where you live, your front yard, your backyard, your dining room table, your living room is sacred space that we need to be inviting people into. Henry Nouwen once said this. It's up on the screen. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them a space where change can take place. Someone pointed out to me the very obvious that I missed. I'm really good at the missing the obvious. That hospitality has the word hospital in it. And Jesus tells us that it's not the well that needed a doctor or a hospital. It's the sick. It's the sick. Invite them into your space. Your space is a place for them to bump into Jesus because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. By the way, I make a regular habit of wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, that when I step into a meeting or tonight, like I pray this simple prayer. I say, Lord, change the atmosphere, not because of me, but because of Christ in me. So everywhere I go, I want, whether I'm sitting at lunch or dinner or in a meeting or at something like this, I want God to change the atmosphere because Christ is in me. Pray for your space and invite your neighbor into your space. Invite your neighbor into your life. I think of two things when I think of inviting them into my life. The first is to invite them into the things that you're interested in that they might be interested in. Some commonalities. We call these affinity neighborhoods. Some commonalities where you can form a strong bond. It might be a sport or it might be a hobby or something like that. Think about here's a couple examples from my wife and my life. We have Bernese Mountain Dogs. There's a big community out there that you know not of Bernese Mountain Dog people who love their dogs and think they're the only dog you should ever have. My wife is the ambassador for Bernese Mountain Dogs in the state of Pennsylvania. And in 2016, we started the Bernese Mountain Dog Club of Central PA with a dozen people. And ultimately, today, now we have 1,600 people in our club. And those are all people that we have a commonality with. I can't remember if I have a picture of the club or not. So, wait, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Let's imagine there's Bernese Mountain Dogs in that picture playing frisbee golf. Let's just imagine that. Yeah, I guess it's not in there. Sorry. And so we're a part of that world. I'm a part of the world of comedy. I'm a stand-up comic. And those people, not just the audience, but the other comedians that I often hang out with in comedy clubs and in other spaces and when we're doing shows together, they're my front yard mission. I love those guys. I care about them. That's not a comedy show. I don't make people wear hats at my shows. That's something else. Yeah. I think it's a lot of fun to do comedy, but that's not why I do it. I was at a show 2 years ago. I was featuring for a comic that just came out with a Amazon Prime special that day. And I was the feature, so I was the second guy. I did like 20 minutes. And I made a decision that day with my wife that I would always talk about Jesus every time I stepped on a stage. Not like in your face always, but just, you know, so people would know either I'm a pastor or I love Jesus, right? Even if it's 5 minutes on a stage, I want people to know that, especially in these comedy clubs. And so that night, I do my bit, I do my 20 minutes, and then the headliner does the show, and he completely bombs. And he shared about how he was an atheist and hated God, basically. When he got off the stage, he walked by me, dejected. He was going back in the green room, and he just put his hand on my shoulder, and he just said these words, "I hope I follow you in heaven someday." That guy now has become my friend, And he's starting to work clean now because of that one night. And then I had another comedian come up to me who's kind of the most famous comedian in Central PA. I don't think that's saying anything. But he's got a thing called the Comedy Farm. And he comes up to me and he says to me, "Hey, I'm a Christian too." He's like, "I want to learn how to work clean. Can I start booking you and I'll open for you?" I'm like, "You'll open for me?" Because I was just kind of starting in comedy. He's like, "Yeah, I want to learn how to work clean." And he's been touring with me for the last 2 years. When he's not on a national tour right now, but when he's not on that tour, he tours with me and does comedy. And then I had this third person walk up to me all on the same night. And she says, "Hey, are you really a pastor or is that just a bit?" And I said, "No, I'm really a pastor." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because God is pursuing me and I have no one to talk to about it. Would you talk to me?" So that was crazy. Like, just crazy night. And it's been an amazing time in the last 2 years of doing shows and all that. It's been incredible. They're my Front Yard Mission. So your commonalities with others is your Front Yard Mission. Invite them into your life, but also be vulnerable, right? Be vulnerable in your life. Don't be this, "I've got it all together," because guess what? You don't have it all together, and guess what? We all know it anyhow. Live authentically, because what happens when we live authentically and transparent? What does it do for our neighbor? It gives them permission to live authentically, to live transparently. That's where the rubber meets the road in ministry. Invitation into our space, invitation into our life, and invitation into our faith community. And when I say that, immediately you're going to be going in your head, you're going to say, "Yeah, invite people to our church. That, you know, that one Sunday we have a year, the Be Kind to God Sunday," or whatever you have, where you invite new people to church. You know, that one time you're asked to do that. And yes, it's inviting them to church, but it's much more. What if inviting your neighbor to church was step 4 or 5 or 6 or 10? What if there were smaller steps along the way where you can invite people to follow Jesus? What if there's other people that we can get them around, other believers that we appreciate, and we would know that they would have something in common with them to get them around? That's important. I don't do Front Yard Mission alone. It's a team sport. And at some point, I need to start thinking about inviting my neighbors into my faith community so they can start rubbing shoulders with them. It might mean a game night at church where I invite other believers from, I don't know what that was, but it was big. The spider has casting revenge. Start inviting them to other things. Like, we serve at our church, we serve refugees, and we make meals for refugees. There's a picture of that. Of us, we packed, every year we do 400,000 meals for refugees. We invite our that. That's not a church thing. We encourage our church to invite your neighbors into that, because when do your neighbors get to do something purposeful in life and for somebody else other than themselves or their family? So we it's more, instead of outreach, it's with reach. We're doing something with them and together. We have bike trails at our church. We've put almost $1 million into bike trails that are being used constantly by the community. We have a great frisbee golf course. We get people onto our property. That's important. But there's so many other smaller ways that we can invite people around other believers and into a faith community. The last thing is the most scary one of them all is an invitation into the life of Christ. We've got 4 invites: invitation into space, life, faith community, and into the life of Christ. A very profound book for me when I was a brand new believer was a book written by Rebecca Manley Pippert. Wouldn't you like it if you were a woman and your middle name was Manly? I like that. And she wrote a book called Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. And in the first line of the book, she says, Christians and non-Christians have something in common. We're both uptight about evangelism. And evangelism doesn't have to be this high-pressure, high-stakes sales pitch. If we are consistently praying and living a Christ-honoring life and transparent life where we're our flaws also are seen, it will eventually provoke a response from our neighbors. It will provoke a response. They might ask something like this, why are you the way that you are? Why are you so freaky deaky? Sharing the gospel works a lot better these days when they are asking us the questions as opposed to us asking them the questions. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Our job as believers is to pray first, is to love our neighbor and invite them and be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. There's this assumption that they're going to ask us. We're going to live a provocative life in Christ, and they're going to ask us. We need to be prepared to give an answer when they ask us to give a reason for the hope that we have, and we do it with gentleness and respect. That's not the evangelism I grew up on. But Peter says, this is a good way. So maybe you don't know how to do that practically. And I want to give you a very simple way. Share your story, and within your story, share the gospel. I'll share my story. Can I do that? How I came to Christ? And I'll just give you a little example. Because when you share your testimony in the gospel, it's just three things. I once was, then Jesus, now because of Jesus. I grew up in a little town called Bellevue, Ohio. I grew up Catholic. And I was a nice kid, but I was a bad kid. I got arrested 3 times. Not proud of that. And I started drinking when I was in 7th grade. Started drinking grape juice and vodka with my friend Joe in his basement. And that got worse and worse. And then we added smoking some dope, weed, ganja, whatever you want to call it. I know Sylvia calls it ganja, so we'll go with ganja. I'm just kidding, Sylvia. What do you call it? You don't know a thing. That's about right. I feel like that's you. You don't know what I'm even talking about, which is like so sweet. That's so sweet. I love that. Okay, good. You guys do. All right, the worship team knows exactly what I'm talking about. This is great. This is awesome. Good thing. So I went to church twice a week, but I didn't know Jesus. And when I went to college, I got a scholarship to play baseball at Bowling Green State University. I don't know if you know where that's at, but it's in northern Ohio. And my partying got harder in college. And one night, my roommates, who were all baseball players, we were up watching television and we were getting high. We were smoking hash. And a commercial for a book came on called The Power for Living. This is like 1984. And it was this book about like testimonies, and it gave the 4 spiritual laws in it. And so my roommate and I were making fun of it, and he thought it would be great to write down the phone number and send it to me as a gag gift. So I got this book, And I took it with me that summer. I went out to play baseball in Philadelphia that summer and to work. And I took that book with me, and I ran into these neighbors across the street. And they started to love me. They started to invite me over every night for dinner. So after work, after baseball, I'd go over and have dinner with them, and they would pray for me afterwards. And I realized I love these people. And then I started reading this book simultaneously. I realized that God had a plan for my life, and I was not living out that plan, that my sin had separated me from God, and that Jesus was the only way to the Father. He was the way, the truth, and the life. And as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. And that hit home for the first time in my life. And I understood the gospel and what it meant on a base level to have a relationship with Jesus. So I didn't know what to do. So I ran across the street. And I was a 19-year-old kid. And I was crying. And I knocked on the door. And this old lady called, we called her Aunt Carrie. She wasn't related. I said, "Aunt Carrie, can you help me? I need Jesus." It was the easiest conversion in the history of Christianity. As Aunt Carrie took me by the hand, she led me to the couch. We knelt and we prayed, and I asked Christ to come into my life. And I've never been the same. God changed my life that day. That's my story. And when I wrote the book for our mission, that was the first time I pieced together, oh, I came to Christ through neighbor. Neighbor led me to Christ. And in my story I just shared with you for 3 minutes, I shared a very simplistic version of the gospel in my testimony, and you can too. I once was, then Jesus, and now because of Jesus, my life is different. I'm going to show you a video that was really meaningful for my wife and I. We're almost done. Worship team's going to come up after the I'll invite you up, but check out this video. And I saw that right before the pandemic, and she said, "Jonathan, we can do this." And what my wife meant is, "Jonathan, you can do this." And so I found another Christian on my street, and we decided we're going to do something called called Dinner in the Driveway. So we put signs out the night of, but the month previous, every week we would just prayer walk our neighborhood. And if we saw somebody, we invited them to this thing. And I wasn't sure, because nothing like this had ever been done in our neighborhood. I wasn't sure. We put tables out, and it looked real ambitious, right? And I was like, is anyone going to show up? And then that night, this happened. And I get choked up when I see that picture, because that was kind of our start to neighboring and what it meant to be a good neighbor and to start reaching out to our neighbors and loving them. Some of those people have moved out. Some of them have died. And some of them are still there and my friends today. And that was the beginning. Just inviting people into our front yard, our dinner in the driveway. Something really simplistic. And our neighborhood, I wish I could say we've seen 3,000 people to know the Lord in 10 years. We've seen 3 people that I've personally led to Christ in our neighborhood. But the atmosphere, it's not about the results, right? God calls us to love. God calls us to share Him with somebody, to be faithful. And that's what we have done. We've planted ourselves there, and we're just trying to be faithful to what the Lord's called us to do. It's His job. It may not be, maybe the big result will be later. Maybe it'll never come. But we love our neighbors, and we love doing what we do. And so pray first, love all, and invite often, guys. Hey, the worship team's coming. Let me pray for us. Without You, we can do nothing. Lord, You're the vine. We're simply the branches. Lord, we want to be with You. We want to attach ourselves to You because You give us everything that we need. And in Your love, that's true, that's right. That's faithful. You give us the ability to love people and to see them accurately, helpless and harassed, like sheep without a shepherd, made in Your image. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to our neighborhoods. Come to our affinity neighborhoods, those we have commonalities with. Come, Lord Jesus, make Your home in our neighborhoods. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. Let's pursue the Lord. I know we took some time to pray through names the other night, and to just think and to sing the words, all the earth will shout Your name, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are You, Lord. I think there's more purpose to this week than just night after night and leaving things here, but the stirring of ongoing of what Jesus is doing over the week. The way He presses in, says, I'm not finished yet. And so again, as we sing this song in adoration and worship, again, heart's affection, mind's attention on who God is and what He's done. Let those names stir in you. Because our God is intricate. Look at these stories that Jonathan just shared, just crazy story after story of just God work. Only things God can do. Amen? What is He trying to do in your storyline? Ask Him right now. Let's sing together.
down in worship, to sing the song of ages till the end. And all have gone before us, and all who will believe, we sing the song of ages till the end. 'Cause your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy. If you've been redeemed, we'll sing this song forever till the end. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing this song forever till the end. We'll sing, come on, we'll sing this song forever.
So
Jonathan just said, as we're singing that song, he just said, man, I want my neighbors to be singing that song with me in heaven. Do you understand that how many people here have a kitchen, have a table in your house where you eat? How many here have a table where you eat? Let me see it. Should be probably about 100%. Guys, you've learned all types of evangelistic models, from evangelism explosion to wearing colored bracelets to all that stuff. And you have the world's greatest evangelical tool that has ever been known to you. Not so much here, but do you know what heaven is depicted as? A table. A table where it's the wedding supper of the what? The Lamb. Did you see that picture in the hallway? Of all those people dining around the table from all different types of international nationalities, all different types of backgrounds coming together around a central table to dine and eat and enjoy God forever. That's what's in store for us. But my hope is there's not an empty seat. Where the person that Jesus has put in my heart. Do you remember we had the blessed door here a few years ago? And some of you wrote a name on that door? I don't want to look across the wedding side. I don't know if this is even theologically accurate. I don't know. But I don't want to look across the table, the wedding supper of the Lamb, and there's an empty seat. Where it belonged to somebody who Jesus put in my path for this season, for this time. To tell them the greatest news that I've ever known. And so, my challenge is do not let that seat go empty. Either at your kitchen table, your dining room table, or the one in heaven. If Jesus has put somebody on your heart, act. He said two letters, G-O, go. Let's change heaven. Let's change the wedding supper of the Lamb. Let's fill the table. We act like there's not enough room in heaven, like it's closed, that the door's shut. That table goes on for eternity. And your neighbor has a seat at the table. Let's not act like they don't. So tonight, what I would just ask, you make a commitment. Listen to the words of Jonathan. Jonathan, thank you. Brother, thank you for your heartbeat. And I'm going to leave this chair here as a reminder that it belongs to someone tonight. Be blessed. Be at peace. And go sharing the good news of Jesus. You're dismissed.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.